Our Bible reading is taken from the book of Judges, chapter 6. And if you have a Bible, it's page 372. Again, the Israelites did evil in the eyes of the Lord. And for 7 years, he gave them into the hands of the Midianites, because the power of Midian was so oppressive, the Israelites prepared shelters for themselves in mountain clefts, caves, and strongholds. Whenever the Israelites planted their crops, the Midianites, Amalekites, and other eastern peoples invaded the country. They camped on the land and ruined the crops all the way to Gaza and did not spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep, nor cattle, nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. It was impossible to count the men and their camels. They invaded the land to ravage it. Midian so impoverished the Israelites that they cried out to the Lord for help. When the Israelites cried to the Lord because of Midian, he sent them a prophet who said, "This is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of Egypt, out of the land of slavery. I snatched you from the power of Egypt and from the hand of all your oppressors. I drove them from before you and gave you their land. I said to you, 'I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of Amorites, in whose land you live,' but you have not listened to me. The angel of the Lord came and sat down under the oak in Ophrah that belonged to Joash the Abzarite, where his son Gideon was threshing wheat in a wine press to keep it from the Midianites. When the angel of the Lord appeared to Gideon, he said, 'The Lord is with you, mighty warrior.' 'But sir,' Gideon replied, 'if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Where are all his wonders that our fathers told us about when they said, "Did not the Lord bring us up out of Egypt?" But now the Lord has abandoned us. Us and put us in the hand of Midian.' The Lord turned to him and said, 'Go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you?' 'But Lord,' Gideon asked, 'how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh, and I am the least in my family.' The Lord answered, 'I will be with you, and you will strike down the Midianites, all the Midianites together.'" This is the word of the Lord.
We are starting a new series today, a series on Gideon, the man for the moment. And there's Roger's prepared some bookmarks that are available by the door if you want to see how the series is going. One of my friends prayed for me during the interview process and the application process for COGS, that there would be lots of little coincidences that would confirm that this was the right post for us and the right thing for us to be doing and applying for COGS North Lee and South Lee. And this is one of those coincidences. Gideon has a very special place in my heart because back in too long ago than I like to remember, but I did a Youth for Christ year called Operation Gideon. It was the start of my ministry experience. I'd felt God was maybe calling me into a church work, and I was told to test it. And I tested it by doing this year out called Operation Gideon. And on that year out, I met Sue, who was also doing the year out. And so this year we will have been married for 22 years. Should have been a bit quicker there. 22 years. And 22 years of marriage. And so it must have been more than 22 years ago that we did this year. And it was a fantastic year. And I would heartily recommend to any young man or woman who has the opportunity to give a year for God in to giving a year of their life to do something, I'd recommend it to them as an opportunity to develop their discipleship and discover more about what God has for them. So Operation Gideon has always had I've always had a soft spot for Gideon. And one of those strange coincidences was that the national director of that year was a Mr. Eddie Lyle, who some of you know, and is sitting three rows back. And he was our boss all those years ago. So it's always another little coincidence that God has drawn us towards. I've always had a soft spot for Gideon, as I say. He didn't always get it right, and we're going to see that. We're going to see he made mistakes along the way. But he was used by God. And when we're introduced to Gideon, it's a dreadful time in Israel's history. They've disregarded God. They've ignored him. And as a result, he's removed his hand of blessing from them. I'll say more about that in a minute or two. But at the start of Judges 6, we discover the Midianites are oppressing the people of Israel. And it was serious oppression. It was dreadful oppression. The land was being ravaged. And as I was thinking of what the oppression was like, I was reminded of, I don't know if you like the David Attenborough programs of the Africa's on at the moment, the other Life on Earth. Fascinating programs, brilliant programs. I was reminded of an incident where a cheetah had a couple of cubs. I think there'll be a picture of a cheetah. You can see what's going to happen every week. I'm going to put a different big cat on the screen. No, it's not. It's not. It'd get boring. But a cheetah had two cubs, had to find food for the cubs, or they were going to die. Chased down an impala, killed the impala, and you had this sense of relief that the cheetah was going to eat, that the cubs were going to eat. It was all going to be okay when a pack of hyenas came along and chased off the cheetah and took her food and took her kill. And for Midianites, think hyenas. This is what they were like. Like hyenas coming and taking the food every time that the Israelites had got their food, and they were desperate for how they were going to feed their children, and they'd get their food, and as the passage said, the Midianites and the Amalekites and the other eastern peoples would invade the country. They'd camp on the land. They'd ruin the crops. They wouldn't just take them. They'd ruin them. And they didn't spare a living thing for Israel, neither sheep nor cattle nor donkeys. They came up with their livestock and their tents like swarms of locusts. And this was how the Israelites were living. They were living in this state where they did not know where food was going to come from, or when it came, they knew it was going to be stolen from them. And in their impoverished state, they cry to the Lord for help. Now, sadly, many people treat God a bit like the Israelites do in this situation. That when life is going well, they tend to ignore God. But when life gets difficult, when it gets tough, when things aren't going as they'd hoped, then they cry out to God. And the Israelites cry to God for help, and his response is to send a prophet. Now, we need prophets. We need prophets today to remind us of what God has said to us in the past, to speak into the situations that we find ourselves in, and to challenge us about what God wants for the future. And the prophet, in this instance, reminds the people where they've come from and that he'd rescued them. And he says to them, "I am the Lord your God. Do not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you live. But you have not listened to me. You have not listened to me." You know, the story of the people of Israel could be called the story of the people who did not listen. The people who did not listen. And here's a question. How good are we at listening to God? How good are we? Because there's times when we're maybe a bit like the people of Israel, and we stop listening to what God is saying to us. And we carry on, and then things start going wrong, and we cry out. Are we in danger of worshipping other gods as the Israelites had? We need to be aware that it's easy to worship other gods. It's easy in our society to do that. We had a temple near us in London, and some of you will have heard of it. It's called Brent Cross, and should be an image of it now. The temple of consumerism. Every Sunday, every day, you would find people who were looking for hope and meaning through purchasing. And in many ways now, the temples are the shopping malls of our country. Regularly, people go to worship and find hope and find purpose in money and image. And the challenge of living as a people who worship God is not easy, even in a country where there is religious freedom. We take God for granted. We don't, because if we're comfortable, we're satisfied. So we sort of give God what's left, rather than go to God for everything and ask Him to be at the center of all that we are. Romans 12 warns us, do not conform to the pattern of this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Then you will be able to test and approve what God's will is, His good, pleasing, and perfect will. And that's a real challenge for us today. With the temptations that are around us, with the pressures to conform, that we would be listening to God so that we would hear what His good and perfect will is. That we'd be discerning what He's saying to us as individuals and as a community. But God does hear the cry of His people, and He sends an angel to Gideon. And this is a comedy moment. Absolutely, what takes place here is Gideon is hiding. He's hiding food, understandably. Naturally, he's hiding food, because every time you had any food, the Midianites would come and steal your food. So he's hiding food. He's in a wine press, hiding the food away from the Midianites. And all of a sudden, an angel of the Lord appears and says, "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." That's my angel of the Lord voice. Doesn't come out that often, but maybe now and again. "The Lord is with you, mighty warrior." And what's Gideon's reaction? It's fantastic. Let's go. I'm ready. Let's take the Midianites. Is there someone else here? Mighty warrior, me? And he's very polite in his response. "Pardon me, my lord. But if the Lord is with us, why has all this happened to us? Why?" And it's a great question. Why? There is that sense of abandonment in Gideon's question. God has already answered it through the prophet. He'd already answered that the people had been disobedient. And let's be very clear, very clear. Bad things happen to good people. And bad things happen to God's people. It's not always because of disobedience, or because God has removed His hand of blessing. There are other factors at work in our world. God is a loving Father. He doesn't, also be clear, He doesn't make bad things happen to us. Sometimes I meet people who have this idea that God is making bad things happen to them. I'm sure, the parenting course will show that loving parents do not make bad things happen to their children. It's not part, although Luke might say, leaving London and moving to Whitney, he's still not convinced that leaving London was the best decision I've ever made. But not make bad things happen to them. That's not part of what a loving father does. And that's not what is going on here. God is not making bad things happen to His people. But He does give us, as I give my sons and will give them as they grow up, free choice. choice to make our own decisions. Choice to make decisions that God doesn't like. Choice to make decisions that take us out of that place of his blessing and into another place. And that's what the Israelites had done. They'd made bad decisions, bad choices. They'd ignored God. They'd tried to live life without him. But he is a loving father, and he hears the cry of his people. And we live in a broken world. Our job is to be involved. We sang about this in the healing of our world, in the recreation of our world. The people had wanted to be independent and go their own way. God had removed his hand of blessing, but now the people cry out to God, and God hears them and sends Midian. So how does the angel of the Lord respond to Gideon's question, why? How does he respond? He ignores him. He doesn't give him an answer. And sometimes I think it's like that with God as well. Sometimes we've got to leave the past in the past. We've got to leave what's happened and put it down and say, okay, God has this for the future. So instead of saying, well, the reason that you're in this situation is because you stepped out of God's blessing, the angel just ignores Gideon and says to him, and actually says, the Lord turned to him and said, go in the strength you have and save Israel out of Midian's hand. Am I not sending you? You know, the angel of the Lord is saying, I'm not really interested in that. The past is what's happened. I'm now saying there's a future. There's a future that I am sending you into. And I believe God sends us all. He calls us and he sends us. And he's sending us out today, tomorrow, into the areas that he's called us to. Into schools, into work, wherever it is that we've been called. God is sending us, and he does send us. Part of my role is help you to discover God's call on your life. Help you to hear what God is calling you to do and how he's sending us all out together. What is the next stage he has for us as a people? But Gideon isn't yet convinced. He turns to the angel again very politely. Pardon me, my lord, Gideon replied, but how can I save Israel? My clan is the weakest in Manasseh. I am the least in my family. This is brilliant. Isn't this what we do when God asks us to do something? Isn't this exactly what happens? God maybe says, pray for that person. Or, I don't have the prayer experience. My Bible knowledge isn't great enough. I couldn't do that. See, God isn't looking for our excuses. He's saying, you can do it. You are able. The problem we have is we spend our time comparing ourselves to other people. And it's exactly what Gideon is doing. He's saying, I'm the weakest. I'm the smallest. My clan is the smallest. I can't do this. There's no way this can happen. I don't know if you've ever compared yourself to someone else. I feel we probably all do at some level. I remember at school in particular, it was one of those things, you were always wanting to be someone else. And I had a friend, Jonathan, who was, he was brilliant at everything. And I so wanted to be him because he was good at sport, he was good at subjects, he was popular with the girls. And I was thinking, I want to be Jonathan. And you know, so often we want to be someone else. But actually, as we get older, that doesn't stop. And we see other people, we think, I want to be like them. I want to be them. And God isn't calling you to be them. And you might have a list of reasons why God cannot use you. But all God says is, I am sending you. The Lord answered Gideon, I will be with you. I will be with you. And we need to hear that. And we need to hear that regularly. I will be with you. Because God calls, God isn't interested in what we can't do. He wants a people who are obedient to him, who follow his call, and who he will use. It's not about what we cannot do. It's about what God can do through us. That's the call of Midian, of Gideon, sorry. The call of Gideon. It's not about what Gideon could not do. It's about God saying, I am with you. I am sending you. Through me, all things are possible. Now this morning, I don't know what God's call on your life is. I don't know where God is sending you, how God is challenging you. But I want you to know that it's not about what you can't do. It's about what God can do and what he can do through us as individuals and through us as a church. What God can do. I'm going to pray for us now. I'm just trying to remember. I think we move into the intercessions, but I want to pray for us first. Let's take a moment. Let's just bow our heads. And I really do believe this morning that God wants to encourage you and encourage us. He wants to say, I am with you. And I want to send you. Now, before we met, there was a group who were meeting, who were praying. They didn't know what I was speaking about. They didn't know that last slide was going to appear on the screen. But as they prayed, they sensed God say, I can do everything through him who gives me strength. I don't know this morning if there are things you're feeling you can't do. God wants to say to you, you can through me, with me. So Lord God, would you speak to us now? Would you speak into our hearts and into our heads? Would you remind us of the things that you have called us to, the things that you want us to achieve? And the Lord says, I will be with you. So Lord, give us confidence this morning, not in what we can't do, but in what you can do. And I ask this in Jesus' name. Amen. I would just encourage you that if something I've said has made you think, actually that's something that God is challenging me about or calling me to just go to the Blake Chapel afterwards and pray with someone. When God speaks to us, it's important we respond to that and that we ask someone, sometimes as an accountable thing, to pray with us so that we don't forget what God has done. So I'd encourage you, if you feel that God has maybe given you a challenge this morning or reminded you of something that he's challenging you about, just to go into the Blake Chapel afterwards and ask someone to pray with you about that thing.